Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by ToughManTri.com. That's a Toughman Triathlon series. VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel for six-time Ironman world champion Dave Scott. RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Eco Marathon Half Marathon 10K, one of our favorite events. Coming up on Saturday, November 18th, DonateCAF.com. We have now raised over $90 million, sent over 15,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Definitely check out DonateCAF.com. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes, on Babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, the CEO and co-founder of one of the greatest events on the planet, the Spartan Race. He's also the author of Spartan Up, a take-no-prisoners guide to overcoming obstacles and achieving peak performance in life, and the Spartan Up podcast, and way too many other things to mention. Mr. Joe DeSena. Joe, how are you?
Thanks for having me. As always, Bob, you are my favorite.
Yeah, you're my favorite guy on the whole planet. Okay, how many Spartan events are there now? Last time I saw it was like 120.
Yeah, we're at 200 now, 35 countries.
You're amazing. And how many people this last year?
A million participants. We expect about 1,150,000 next year. It has grown like crazy since we left, folks.
Well, and what's fascinating about this, all started with, I mean, your background when it comes to endurance was Ironman, Eco Challenge. I think you might have even jumped into a Raid Galois in there. It's sort of the adventure, long distance. What led to making that next step and first creating Death Race, which was your first, really the first event?
Well, even before Death Race, I had something I put on called Expedition BVI in the year 2000, and it was modeled after the Eco Challenge. And the idea is, you know, could we combine sailing and swimming and kayaking and biking and running? And we did it. We did down to British Virgin Islands, and I lost a fortune in 2000. But I was passionate about it like you were. And so from 2000 to 2010, I went crazy putting on races all over the world, mostly long format, 350-mile plus events. And as you would suspect, not a lot of people signed up.
No. Yeah, what's funny when you mention that 2000 race, I think One Arm Willie and Paul Martin, I think we had some of our challenge athletes there.
Yeah, they were there. and then Death Race came to be about 7 years after, 8 years after that. And I messed around with that. And that became somewhat successful, but at most about 350 participants, still not big enough numbers to make money, but it made a lot of noise.
Right.
And then in 2010, against my own judgment, changed the format. 3 mile, 8 mile, 13 mile, trifecta if you complete all three of them. Changed the name.
Right.
Spartan.
Yeah.
Sports focused. Authentic, athletic. I wanted people to be able to practice these obstacles in their backyard. But again, I was really unsure. I didn't think it was going to work because it just didn't feel like that, you know, 350-mile, 500-mile crazy event that I was so passionate about. But, man, was I wrong. It worked. It was exactly what the doctor ordered. 700 people signed up and 1,500 and you know, now it's, like I said, 35 countries, 200 events, over a million people. It's gone crazy.
So how do you control that? I mean, obviously, when something grows to that level, when you're putting on one event, three event, five events, and then all of a sudden you're putting on over 200 events around the world, obviously you have great staff. But at the same time, the culture of it, the feel for the event, that's what sells it. So that you have to somehow try to keep that when you get to 200 events.
Yeah, I mean, listen, every business is hard. You know this.
Yeah.
So you know, you got to have great people, which we do. And I'm learning as I go. I've never run a business across this many geographies at once with this many events. And the event business is difficult.
But yes.
As you know, so I think it's just constantly putting my fingerprint on the branding, on the messaging that stays true to what we started this to be. And we're really lucky, right, because we get to follow a blueprint from Sparta, right? Stoicism, delaying gratification, commitment, all those great principles that came out of Sparta in the ancient world apply to this business. So it's a little easier, not very easy, but a little easier to keep everybody rolling in the same direction and keep it from going off the rails. But it's a pretty tough brand. I mean, we make a lot of mistakes, and it's tough to kill this brand. This brand is very resilient.
Well, how much did you learn from being in those Eco Challenge races and Ironman races? What did you take from those? Because obviously people like iconic. They want something hard, but they don't want to die necessarily. What did you take from those races that helped you with Spartan?
Well, as you remember yourself, I'm sure, the life-transforming component of it,
yes,
was the big one for me. That place where you get to just water, food, and shelter. Just give me water, food, and shelter. I don't care about all the things I thought I wanted yesterday when I was home. Right? Like Einstein says, adversity introduces a man or woman to themselves. That's what we're doing in this event. We all in the first world have it way easier than we should, right? We should all just be kissing the floor and thanking God every day at how well, you know, how good we have it.
Right.
And this is a little manufactured adversity. And so when I think about the event that I participated in, they were tough. They were grueling. Listen, like a marathon or a 50-miler or a big bike race or anything that brings you out of your comfort zone, that's what really stuck with me. Like, that was the big thing I had to transfer to other people.
What fascinated me, I remember interviewing Mark Burnett from Eco Challenge once, and we were talking. I asked him what his favorite part of the event was, and he goes, you know, standing in front of the race, all the teams before it starts, and knowing that within 24 hours, people who've been friends their entire life will never speak again. Sort of the emotional, the mental, and I know that's really important for you. The physical part is one thing, but you want people to really be tested mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, you know, if it is true that we were put on this planet to do a thing, the thing I was put on the planet to do is to test people and push their limits and really agitate and aggravate people to a point where they become better. That's my reason for being on Earth. Doesn't really make a lot of friends, but it makes people better. And that's what we do at Sparta.
What was the scariest moment for you in terms of when you were involved in racing, right? Did you have some moments where you thought, man, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I mean, I was here to race. Now I'm just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, I was in the Iditarod. You know, we were doing it by foot.
Yeah,
and we were in waist deep snow, and we fell into water. You know, the weight of the snow had pushed on the ice, and water ended up coming through. And you know, 30 below temperature in the middle of nowhere, days away from anybody, and you're now wet.
Wow.
And cold. And I can't say, like, I didn't grow up in the Alaska wilderness. It's not like I had a...
You're in Queens.
I'm from Queens, right? I don't have experience with this. And so, you know, for a moment there, you're thinking I'm dead. And there were 20 such situations like that, and mostly in the cold, mostly in places where there were just no other human beings. But thankfully, you know, you fight through. You come out the other side, and you know it's not like we got trapped in avalanches, or you know there's
right.
Much better stories out there from adventurers that are skimming the edge. But for me, those are scary moments.
You've also taken out an initiative a few years ago where you decided, hey, you know, obstacle racing is great. A Spartan race is great, but we want to be part of the Olympic family because the world's changing in terms of sports, and our sport is probably more relevant than a lot of the other stuff that's in there, thinking modern pentathlon and some of this other stuff. Where does that stand now with the whole Olympic movement?
Yeah, it's happening. I went out to the world and I announced that we were going to do this, and I had no idea how we were going to do it.
Right.
But you make enough noise and you lift up enough rocks, and before you know it, stuff just starts to happen. So there's no doubt about it that we'd be a good fit for the Olympics.
Yes.
The only hold up from this becoming an Olympic sport at this point is just navigating the bureaucracy of the Olympic Committee. And that's not to say anything negative about the Olympic Committee. It's just the reality of a big organization like that that does so much good. It's hard to plug into, but I would say, if there's three prongs on the plug that we're trying to stick in, one of them's already in. So, you got a couple more to plug in there before there's an Olympic sport. And it might take, another 8 years, but it's going to happen.
So one of the other things you've done in the last number of years, just doing some of the City Field, Fenway Park, AT&T Park, different places like that, where you're taking what's considered an off-road, out in the middle of nowhere event and bringing it to the masses, bringing it into, rather the masses coming to you, you going to them, into cities. How important have those events been to the growth of the Spartan brand?
Well, we don't make money on those urban events because they're so expensive to put on.
Right.
But, we want to measure profitability and number of lives changed. And when you've got that close proximity to the city, you get more people. And so so we're psyched to be in the cities, even though we don't make a ton of money. We change a ton of lives, and those people become part of the Spartan family. And they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on and so on.
What I've always enjoyed is a lot of times you get caught up in the logistics of putting on events, and then you see something at your own event. You see that moment where that person who didn't think they could do something overcomes something and changes themselves forever. You're still seeing those moments?
I get 50 to 100, 200 emails on a daily basis, Bob.
Yeah.
Of you changed my life. They come from, active military, retired military, civilians, moms, people in the middle of getting a divorce, drug addicts, alcohol. It's unbelievable. And I'm sure, like you said, you've gotten these emails, and I get them, and it gives you so much energy to fight another day because we're doing really good work.
You're doing great stuff. You're really doing. You're like I said, you're changing lives, and people are going out there not knowing. Think about it. When we first went to Ironman or went to the adventure races, we didn't know if we're going to get to the finish line. You don't know. And that's what you're doing. You're creating this microcosm for life for people to go through and change themselves. Is America still soft, do you think?
Well, I just got done. We were living over in Tokyo and Singapore for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And, I love this country, and so I'm not saying anything negative here that we all shouldn't just look in the mirror and say this is true. But when you land in America coming out of Asia, where I was, or pretty much most countries, it is very clear immediately that we are very overweight.
Yes.
And unhealthy.
Yeah.
The second you land in the airport, you see it. And, And so, I watched a great documentary you should push out to your listeners. It's called What the Health.
What the Health?
What the Health.
I like it.
What the Hell, What the
Health.
And just watched it the other night. It's nothing we don't all know. But it's just, you kind of need a tune-up when it comes to the foods we eat, because we get just wrapped into what society does. We're going to dinner, we're having this, we're having that. It just becomes part of normal. There's dozens of documentaries out there. There's been books written since the 1950s on this stuff. But we forget it. And so I watched the documentary the other night with my family, and my whole family now are vegan. So we'll see how long that lasts.
So what's been your biggest event, the largest number of participants?
25,000.
Wow. 25,000. And your first death race was how many people?
Oh, eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I mean, you think about it. Ironman had, what, 15 starters, 12 finishers, 1978, and now there's 45 fulls and 105 70.3s all over the world. Yeah. And you've basically, you know, you have the same model with Spartan. How has it changed? Yeah. How have you had to adapt to, obviously, there's more competition in the marketplace. There's this endurance entertainment marketplace with running and triathlon and cycling and mountain biking and obstacle racing. There's more people putting on numbers than ever before, but more competition for the, you know, for guys who, like you, who are putting on events. How have you had to adapt?
Well, it's going to sound cocky, and I don't mean it to sound cocky, but, you know, we had a very clear vision from the beginning. It was going to be authentic. It was going to be athletic. It was going to someday become a legitimate sport, the Olympics.
Right.
And we haven't changed from that mandate. So you can't skip obstacles. You get timed. You get ranked. You're held to a standard. It's not perfect because when you go, you know, in seven years, from zero events to 200, we've got a lot of bumps in the road.
Sure.
And we're learning as we go, but we don't change anything. Doesn't matter what culture, what kind. This is what we do. This is how we do it, and it works. So, there's more competition.
Yep.
But when we look at why are we having the fortune of growing year after year, number of races, same store sales, everything's up, and I think it's because we take such a serious approach to it. We're not, and I don't mean to be negative towards any of the other events, but once you take that drug as an event organizer of making it easier and saying, oh, well, we'll let people skip obstacles and we won't give them a medal, we'll give them something silly at the, like, that's all fun and good for the short term. It
right.
gets people in the door, but long term, it's a joke,
yeah.
right? As you're a competitor, I'm a competitor. We want competition.
Yes. You want
that's
a clock out there. You want to see a clock. Yeah. You want to see where you stand. You want to see where you rank. Yeah, you want to get people in, right? And that's where I felt with our Muddy Buddy series was sort of the welcome mat. Come on in, get into our world of, you know, of doing something short, something that you can accomplish,
yeah.
and it'll take you an hour. But then if people stay in, and hopefully they do, then they move on, and they hopefully race Spartan, and they race Ironman, and then they look to see where they rank, and then they go out and try to make it to the World Championships. And I know your World Championships, speaking of that, you're coming up on September 30th, 31st up in Tahoe, and talk a little bit about how this, I was reading about the coins. How do you get there, and what do the coins represent?
So the coin is basically your entry into the elite division at the World Championships. You've got to earn that coin somewhere in the world by doing well at one of our events. And so that coin, I met a girl and one of our competitors took first place in Japan.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to her and she's talking to people. We're mingling in this crowd of VIPs for a good hour and a half. And I go to shake her hand goodbye and I notice, wow, she's been clenching her fist for the last 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Well, she opens her hand to shake my hand. She had basically squeezed the blood out of her hand so much for 90 minutes that the coin had imprinted itself on her hand.
Oh, my God.
It was so powerful that she finally had gotten the first place, and she got the coin so that she can get to the World Championship, that it meant that much to her.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, again, the people get in somehow, and then once they're in, the natural tendency is people want to be competitive.
That's right.
What did you learn from living in Asia for a couple of years?
Well, it's just good to see different cultures in different countries, just see where people do things. And, you know, I think you become a little more understanding and empathetic.
Yes.
Right? You've got empathy towards folks because you got to live, right, in somebody else's shoes, they say, to understand. So it's just good to go see how the other people live. Japan was easy. Singapore was easy living. They're really advanced countries, super, super safe. The kids could go on trains and taxis alone. But you also, you got to learn how to do business in those places, and it's not the same And right. you've got to, you know, win in Rome, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But we finally, we it took some time. We learned the methodology, and we got it done.
So you're going to be here in L.A. this next week. So what's happening?
I'm going to be at this thing called World. It's a gathering of a bunch of CMOs and C-level execs. And I'm going to teach a little grit and resilience. I've been fortunate in that, you know, when you've got these millions of competitors that you're dealing with, I start to learn exactly what principles we can all apply to our lives to be more successful. And, you know, whether you're a mom, a monk, or a mechanic, it doesn't matter. This is not just about making money. This is just about achieving goals. And so I'm going to try to impart some of that wisdom I picked up and share it with a bunch of these executives.
Will they be doing any burpees?
Well, there's no way to advance in life without burpees. You and I know that.
the most perfect exercise there is, the burpee.
That's right.
I love that. Hey, Joe, as always, always an honor to chat with you. I'm excited you're coming out here. And now you also, you'll be at the World Championships? What do you guys got going on besides
the
events?
Love to have you there. We're going to have a pod fest, we're calling it. We'll have a couple of dozen podcasters coming out. We got a ton of media, a ton of VIPs. So come out, visit with us. And NBC will be filming. It'll be awesome. October 1st weekend.
And also, in terms of your NBC show, because you've been doing some Team Spartan. Talk a little bit about that and what you've gained from that.
Yeah, so that's an amazing show. It gets like 4+ million viewers per week, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And when you and I talk about this idea of bringing people into the family, getting them hooked on this healthy thing called Sparta or Muddy Buddy, whatever it is, right, just being fit and health conscious, you need that exposure. So we did that team-based show. We did it in partnership with NBC. It's been getting rolled out around the world, and super, super exciting.
Very cool. And over 4 million viewers?
Per week, yeah.
Wow. Good for you, man. Yeah. Very cool. Hey, Joe, thanks again for taking time. Love what you bring to the table. And the exercise is great, but I think sometimes people miss the point that you can't finish your Spartan race and then go eat a pizza and eat to have a couple liters of Coke and figure that you're in great shape.
No, we got to be healthy, not just fit. Right.
Yes.
So that's what we're trying to get people healthy.
That's that's what happened with Dave McGilvery, the race director for Boston. He was always fit, but he realized that he had a little heart episode and realized, you know what, I'm not healthy, and had changed everything and made a huge difference in his life. So, Eddie, what do you have coming up athletically?
What do I have? I got the Agogi, which is our next iteration of Death Race. That's out in the UK, August 18th weekend. That's like 70 hours of hell.
And you'll race?
Yeah, it's our race. So I'll be out there in the Isle of Skye. So supposed to be an incredible location. So excited to be there.
Love it. Hey, and good luck this next week. Always, always an honor to have you on with me, Joe. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
All right, again, brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix.com, ATVSwimSpas.com, RunCatalina.com, and Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes at Babbittville. And as always, endurance lives here.